Yeah, a couple quick thoughts. It was great to watch some of the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions last night. Some of those speeches, really neat to see. It was wonderful. It was also equally as sad to see college football coaching legend and Coach Bowden pass away this week. And while I didn't really know Coach all that well, certainly have an unbelievable amount of respect for what he did, not only for this profession, but what he did for so many people. And listening to all the stories, it makes you think as a coach, your impact and your legacy that you're going to leave behind. And while he was one of the most winningest coaches in college football, the impact and what so many people say about him is really what it's all about. And so much respect for him, and thoughts and prayers with his family.
We'll open it up for questions. Front row middle, Nathan.
Brian, you were asked back in the spring about the concept of guys like Thayer and Nichols and whether you would think about having them on the interior. And you're kind of dismissive of it at the time. Does your thoughts on that change at all with the rest of the
league? We moved them around a little bit. We're trying to find the best five on the field at once, which is kind of always the goal. And the good news is those guys have great value because they can move. And so looking at some of their skill sets, it's going to be a benefit to them moving forward if they can play a little bit of tackle and play some guard. And you saw Paris move in a little bit. He can also move out to tackle. So, yeah, DeJuan's played some guard in the past, Nick, and also Fair. So especially this time of year, we mix and match and try to figure out where the best five is. But, there's a lot of guys in that O-line room that are competing really well, and they'll just have to continue to try to, build that skill set, and then we'll find the best five here as we probably, into the end of this week, maybe early next week.
Along the same lines, do you put that one in there and cultivate that versatility and those interior guys, Harry and Nichols? You also said you want to name a starting quarterback roughly midway through the world. Does the starting center need to be established around that same time? Is that, am I overthinking the importance of that relationship?
No, I don't think you're overthinking it, because the center is obviously important in terms of the communication and those type of things. But, what is the significance of naming a starter at those different positions? I'm not sure. It kind of depends on the situation year in, year out. But it is noteworthy that the center is someone that has to do a lot of communicating. So that chemistry is important. But that's why a lot of guys are rolling in out of there.
Brian, you were asked at Big Ten Media Days if you liked name, image, and likeness, and you said, no, but I'm embracing it. How has that been so far? I know it's early. Have there been any distractions, and are you concerned there could be some distractions?
I'm not. I think that a big part of moving into the next, decade of college football is making sure that you recruit great families, great people who have great character and values, and I think we have that right now. And so I don't see a distraction right now with our guys. I think that some of them have used it and have had really good opportunities to put some money in their pocket. But I think they're also smart about the people that they're putting their name on and with, and building relationships with. I think that they're doing a good job of walking before they're running, and that's a big part of the education that we had. But they also understand that if their academics aren't in place, if their football's not right, then the amount of opportunities are going to be affected. So I think their priorities are good right now, and we'll see as we continue into the fall. But right now, I think that our guys have done a good job of prioritizing all of it.
Hey, guys, excuse me one second. Hey, feel free to unmask when you're asking questions, just so the mic can pick them up.
Thank you. I also want to ask about Mayan Williams. It was a small sample size. We were out there last week. He seemed to be going first with every running back drill. What's he done to catch your eye, and where's he at in the fifth one?
Yeah, I wouldn't look too much into all that in terms of where guys align and everything. We have different guys in front, stretch lines and different lines. But that room, there's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of guys getting a lot of reps. Masters, really coming on, and Mayan's had a very good camp. Only 5 days in, and then Trace and Marcus and even Evan. I mean, all five of them are getting a lot of reps. We're spreading them around, and again, this is kind of like where we're stalling. And we're spreading the reps around, so there's a lot to go around. And then I think, as we get into game week, or really after these next 2 weeks in the hotel, that we have about, 12 days before that first game, that's where we really come up for air and the depth chart's really set, and those reps start getting more prioritized. Maybe a little bit next week, but right now we're just trying to get as many of these guys reps as possible, because, like we've talked about before, they're behind. And some guys, the more reps they get, the better they are, and they can really cover a lot of ground and get better. And that's really what it's all about right now. Depth chart really isn't very important. It will be pretty soon, but right now it's about getting reps.
Third row middle, Joey?
Ryan, with Jason Chinalau, he's unlike a lot of freshmen, he didn't get a spring ball, he didn't get a summer to make a few workouts. Now that you've had like close to half a dozen practices watching him, how has he done as far as catching up to speed, considering you're probably going to need guys to step in there?
So I'm not in the meetings as much with him, but the feedback I'm getting from Coach Johnson, from the other coaches in the meeting room, but then also what I see on the field is a tremendous attention to detail, very conscientious, takes a lot of notes, can take a meeting to the field in short order. And so because of that, he's made up a lot of ground in a very short amount of time. So he's flashed, he's learning, still has moments where he's still not sure exactly where to go or what to do, but you can see certainly the flashes and brilliance of a 272-pound defensive end who can run. But then when he does kind of know exactly what he's doing, he's made a lot of plays, and we're having a hard time blocking him.
Yeah, what's it look like when he flashes?
When you see him move, he looks more like a 250-pound player. He's 272, running at that speed with that power. Great hands, great body control. So, good start. Long way to go, but talent is certainly there.
Second row middle, Pat.
Ryan, we saw the guys move into the hotel yesterday. What does that give you to have that? I know, obviously, last year you weren't able to do that. What do you get from moving into the hotel and everyone being together?
It's that routine that we missed last year of everyone being together in a hotel, waking up in the morning together with the air horns and going to bed check at night, guys being around each other. Coaches in there doing the bed check at night. It just allows us a little bit of a camaraderie, but it also helps with the routine that, this is kind of what we're doing for the next 14 days together as a group, stacking these days. And talked to the guys today about, watching some of the Olympic events over the last few weeks. And what you don't see is all the hard training days that they had to be a competitive excellence in that one moment in Tokyo. Our moment is on September 2nd against Minnesota. And so these are those days that nobody sees where you're training. And if we can keep putting these days together as a group in the hotel and show discipline and skill and toughness and those type of things, hopefully on September 2nd, then we're at competitive excellence and everyone gets to see all the hard work we put in.
And you've talked about needing leaders to emerge. Have guys started? Are there specific guys, and I don't know if you want to get into names, but are there guys that are starting to emerge as guys who can be those leaders for your team?
Yeah, I think that there's kind of the vocal leaders, and there's also guys who, do it on the field. But everyone has a different skill set. I would say on the offensive side, I've been very, very impressed with Thayer Munford's leadership. His approach has been excellent all season. I'm just very, very impressed with what he's done. I think, Chris and Garrett, especially in the perimeter, have really worked hard. I'm very, very impressed with how over the first 5 days of practice, they've just been out there taking a lot of reps, working on the timing with the quarterbacks. Hasn't always been perfect, but it's getting a lot better. And their attitude has been excellent. I think that's going to go a long, long way. On the defensive side, a lot of great energy over there. You're seeing, Zach Harrison's a guy who's shown a lot of great leadership. And then in the back end, we got a lot of younger guys in there who are bringing great energy. So, certainly looking for more and more leaders to step up. I think we have some really good candidates in there. I'm very impressed with Taraji Mitchell's approach. He's been a guy who's been pretty vocal. He can kind of step up in front of the team and speak. So this is kind of that time of year where you start to feel that. And it won't be long before we start naming captains.
Front row middle. Bill? Rabinowitz?
Well, you said Indianapolis, but you would hope, ideally, you would have an idea the quarterback would be the only second week of camp.
No, I think after this week we're going to have a really good feel. I think that Wednesday will be a big day, Saturday will be a big day, and we'll take Sunday off and come up for air, and at that point I think we'll have a pretty good feel. I think that maybe it'll take another week after that, but we'll see. I mean, now that we're, like you said, we're kind of getting into, I guess, practice five, but we're getting at 20 practices now when you include the spring. So it's a pretty good body of work that we're putting together day after day. We'll be ready next week, I don't know, but it'll be pretty close to that timetable.
I don't expect for sure, but in your own mind, Do you feel like somebody is starting to separate?
No. I'm going to kind of figure that out as we go, and then talk to the guys and go from there.
Right next door, Bill Landis.
Ryan, we've talked a lot with Jeremy Ruckert over the years about transforming physically to become kind of a complete tight end, but he was talking at Media Days about some cognitive training that he does and just sort of like thinking about things differently now. I'm wondering, like, can you get a sense as a coach about when guys are really growing in that kind of area? Do you notice anything about Jeremy in terms of just sort of how he thinks about football now?
I think when you get to a certain point physically, you know, you want to start taking the next step in your mental approach to things, and I think that's probably what he's talking about. And it's so important, the mental toughness of the game and visualizing things. And, you know, some guys do a better job of others in that area. But, again, a lot of maturity with him. You know, he looks like he's really done a lot of great work to his body this summer, and he's got the right approach. He's made some really good catches for us. And I'm impressed with where he's at. You know, he's got to keep building over these next couple weeks. But from what I can tell, his mental approach has been good. He's been on it. It'll probably be even more important as we start to get into game week, visualizing plays, visualizing routes. Again, right now we're kind of just repping in practice, a little bit like Groundhog's Day, but I think my guess would be that'll show up on game week.
And DeJuan Jones seems like a guy who kind of turned some heads immediately when he got here, especially considering where he was ranked coming in. Just what has he done to catch your attention in that way where you try to move him around to try to find him a way to get on the field?
Yeah, he's grown a lot in 3 years. I think that he's a basketball player trying to figure out how to play football. You know, I kind of laugh sometimes and say he's the largest skill player of all time. But he's done a really good job in the offseason of being serious and coming to work every day. And now the first five practices, he's flashed. You know, several of the offensive linemen have come up to me and said, you know, DeJuan's really done a good job in his approach. And I think that if he could just keep putting one day in front of the other, and these next 2 weeks will be really important for him because he has the ability and he's flashed at times. He can do it. Now, can he consistently do it over time, which is the key to a great offensive lineman, because it's a grind being an offensive lineman. You have to be tough and you don't get a ball, you know, especially for somebody who played a lot of basketball like DeJuan, is you don't get to touch the ball. You have to continually embrace what it means to be an offensive lineman. That's a lot of walkthrough. It's a lot of meeting time. It's a lot of, drill work. It's a grind, and so you have to embrace that. Once he embraces that, the sky's the limit for him.
Right next door, Dan.
Ryan, you didn't mention skill changes at the running backs. Has he settled in at linebacker at this point?
He has, yeah, and I think he's really done a good job. He has natural instincts over there. It's something that we wanted to take a look at and asked his feedback this past week, and he said he'd like to try it full-time, absolutely. And the guys on defense have been very, very impressed right from the jump that you can usually tell right away if somebody's just natural at it. He is, and he's very, very athletic, and so he's really upgraded that room, and I expect him to make an impact this season.
What kind of role do you think that he could play?
I mean, I hope that he can provide depth early in the season and then grow into a more consistent role as the season goes on. I mean, as you watch film, I mean, it's all new to him, so it have to be fair. He needs a ton of reps, but I think every rep that you invest in him, you're going to get back, because not only is he intelligent, but he has the skill set too to do it. So I know all the guys and I am very, very excited for him, you know, to see kind of where this goes over the next couple of weeks, if he can take strides to be able to help us and give us some plays early in the season, and then, like I said, a more significant role, you know, midway to the end of the fall.
We've got a guest from Quebec City by way of San Francisco, writes for Blue Pennant, which is a French-Canadian football publication. Blaise, second row left there.
Hey. Good morning, Coach. Quick question. You're 15-0 in the Big Ten, and I was wondering, who did you see as your biggest threat this year in the conference? And also, how much value do you put in last season when assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your future opponents?
I think, first off, it's the next opponent. I think for us, we try not to get too far down the road of anything. I mean, it's Minnesota on September 2nd. That's all that we're looking at right now. And every team poses a different type of challenge. I think the thing about this league is there's great balance and there's great parity. And so if you don't bring it, then, you know, you're going to get knocked out. And it's no secret that you know, we've won the Big Ten championship here for four straight years. So the bullseye's never been bigger on our chest. You know, we just lost a top quarterback in the country to Justin Fields. We've graduated some more guys. So, you know, every year, you know, guys are coming after us. We know that. Well, it's not any different this year. So, you know, this league has great coaches and great players. And again, if you don't bring it every week, the other thing is, you know, we play nine games, play nine conference games, unlike anybody else. So that's a big deal. And if you don't bring it week in and week out, you're going to get upset. And we've also seen that before. So I think last year was hard. I think for a lot of people, I think some teams got hit with the virus different than others. There were so many different dynamics at play based on where they were and their team. And, you know, you can lose one or two guys at key positions and not really be your whole team. So we saw that as well during our season. So I don't know. You know, some of these teams, you know, when you looked at last year's film, you know, I think it gives you a little bit of an idea where they're at. But I think this year will be much different.
Over here to the far right, Austin.
Right, tomorrow's the first day in full pads, right?
It is. You know, with the lowers on, we've been shoulders and health shoulder pads. So
how does that change the competition or evaluation once you get into that, which is a little bit more live?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'll say it. I don't think that we're doing the right thing right now by not being able to put our lower pads on more during camp, because we've had a few guys with some thigh injuries and guys just, you know, getting some lower extremity kind of contusions. And I know the idea is that once you put the lower pads on, you can actually tackle to the ground, which we'll do tomorrow. Have some tackling drills. We won't do a tackling in a team setting until probably Wednesday. But that's the theory behind it. But I also think that we should help wear our lowers because it protects. If you watch a helmets and shoulder pads practice, it's the same other than you're just not taking people to the ground. So why can't you put on thigh boards? We always wore thigh boards, and we're not allowed to right now, which I disagree with strongly. I don't think it makes much sense. But anyways, but yeah, so full pads go on tomorrow, and we'll, you can start tackling guys in the crowd.
Especially maybe a linebacker. I mean, that's probably what you've been waiting for, to get a sense that if they're not actually taking somebody to the ground, you might not know what you have.
Right.
How, is that the position maybe you're most curious about this week, or maybe elsewhere?
Yeah, and running back too. To see, it's hard when running backs, you can't take guys to the ground. So we have those tackling opportunities. That'll be big to see. But it's also to get everybody just back into tackling in an early game where, you know, they're going to run the ball and be physical. You know, we're going to have to be able to come up and tackle. And we can't have, oh well, you know, the first, you know, half we struggle tackling. It's not going to work. We'll lose the game. So that, and then two, you know, the guys on offense who carry the ball security. We can't afford a turnover late in that game or at any point in the game. So so those are the two reasons why we want to tackle so much early on in this game and jump right into conference play.
Second row, middle-ish. Tony?
Ryan, regarding the mental toughness and the quarterback battle, it inherently has its own, brings its own pressures. How do you guys add to that pressure as the time gets done? Do you guys do anything extra to make it even more pressurized for you?
I think... other than me, you know, screaming and yelling at them during practice, like I try to tell them all the time, you know, if you can survive practice with me kind of getting after you, the games will be easy. And that's sometimes hard on those guys. And I try to help them understand how hard it is to win a game and to play quarterback at this level. And our expectation here is Heisman Trophy National Championship. That's what it is in first-round draft pick. So a lot comes with that. And, you know, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't. It takes time. And it takes reps, and it takes failure, and it takes preparation, and it takes all of these things to get to where you need to go. And the only way to do it is to fail. And it's just a lot of friction along the way. So the pressure's never been higher for those guys, and they understand it. They've been great. Their attitudes have been wonderful. Trying to get, you know, not to ride the roller coaster of if you have a bad day or you have a bad practice, doesn't make you a bad player. And that's really what's important. You know, I was listening again to Peyton Manning's talk last night about his first season and his dad talking about that first season and what he went through, and it didn't define him, and then he went on to have a Hall of Fame career. I think that's a big part of quarterback play is, you know, you can't ride the roller coaster. You have to keep coming back for more and keep coming back.
When you start preparing them for that, I'm going to be getting harder on you.
Now, I mean, that's been going on for a long time. Yeah, since they walked on campus.
Straight away to center field. Clay?
Yeah, Coach, you said DeJuan has flashed. Does that mean he's manhandled some pretty good defensive linemen? Just his size and strength?
Yeah, I think when I say flashed, it means, you know, he's had reps where, you know, he's really had, you know, like you said, dominated. Usually means when you say flash that it's not consistent yet. I said his consistency is much further along than it was in the spring and certainly last year. So that's been great. And the more consistency he can build in his game, the better he's going to become and the more he's going to play. But he has the ability to dominate just because of his size and his strength and his athleticism. So, but again, it's about the consistency, being able to do it for four quarters. And again, he's further along than he's been. So he's got to keep growing and keep pounding away.
Second row right, Jeremy.
Ryan, with in the spring and early enrollee guys, I think Denzel Burke and Marvin Harrison were kind of the two that surprised you guys the most. And now you go into this fall camp and Denzel loses the black shirt, start first. What has he done to kind of keep that momentum going to prove that he can be in the Rutgers?
Denzel Burke, you know, you can't tell him he's a freshman. He's walked in and competed right from when he stepped on that field. He takes it very, very seriously. He's got the right approach. His talent level is there, but he's created some discipline, he's created some skill, and he attacks every day. I mean, he goes right up against Garrett, he goes right up against Chris, and he doesn't back down. A lot of confidence, but not over the top either. I mean, he's a serious guy and has a chance to be a very, very good player.
How important is it for Legend and for Ryan and for Cam and Seven coming back from injury to have a guy like Denzel, but now with Jordan and JK in the mix, pushing them? I mean, does that help the room entirely?
Yeah, I think anytime you can play depth, you know, so like we didn't have much depth last year. And the more depth you have, the more you can play those guys, which we've done in the past. And like you said, some of those guys like Legend and Ryan and Cam, you know, they're coming back from injury. And so, you know, they're kind of getting back into it. The more depth we can have at that position, the better off we're going to be.
Got time for a couple more. Front row right, Tim.
Ryan, the stack you've got of personnel talent on the offensive side, seems like the depth is there at every position, even quarterback. Do you find yourself, I don't know, dreaming, whatever, about more things you could do with this group, if you follow my drift? Do you feel like you could put almost any kind of offense out there you wanted to if you had the time to do it?
No, I know what you're saying, but no. I go back to, okay, what are we going to hang our hat on? Who are we going to be, and then build from there. I think that's the big thing is like, okay, what are we really hanging our hat on? Because if you don't have tendencies and you don't get really good at something, you just become a jack of all trades. And I think the tendency is what you're saying, which is kind of, we can do everything. Well, hang on now. We can do everything, but what puts our guys in the best position based on the personnel that we have? And then once you get really good at something, they take that away, then something else opens up. And I think that's a really good point because it's easy to say, well, we can just do all of this, but what are we going to really get good at and hang our hat on? And that's a really big part of this week. I actually woke up this morning thinking about that very thing driving in. Like, what are we going to be? Who are we on offense, and what is our identity going to be? And I hope by the end of the week we get a better picture than we do right now.
And real quickly, can you tell that Josh Proctor and Seven Banks, for example, have a season under them? I mean, even though it was a wacky season from the way they're playing right now, I mean, what's just your...
Seven's, you know, kind of tweaked something. So he's been out for the last couple of practices. So, you know, excited to see him get into practice because he had a really good summer and we're expecting big things from him this year. But he hasn't really been out there as much. So, but certainly Josh Proctor, yeah. You know, being in the middle there, you know, when we had Jordan back there 2 years ago, he was like the eraser. You know, whether it was in a run game, he'd get the guy down. Whether it was in the, you know, throwing the ball down the field, he could, you know, knock the ball down. He could, you know, avoid the big plays. You know, certainly that guy's in the middle of the field for a reason, to take away the post and big plays. And that's where the offense or the defense is designed. And having a veteran guy back there, you know, now you got him and you got Bryson Shaw back there, who also has a lot of experience now. He, Bryson, and Martin, and Hooker. So now you have three guys back there who play back there. And having discipline back there and experience is really important because there are going to be some things that squirt to them, but if they can get it down the way Jordan did, and if they can stop the big plays, then we got a real big chance because that's the idea. It's very hard to get big plays against our defense. It should be. That's the way that the defense is designed. So I kind of went on a tangent there. But I think when you look at those guys, now they have some years under their belt. And, again, between Proctor and Shaw and Hooker, now you've got three guys back there with a lot of experience that should pay dividends down the road here.
Time for a couple more. Second row left, Steven.
Ryan,
three guys are voted as captains, and you're going to the recruiting set to show between the dough guys, and you can kind of tell that this guy's got a chance to be a captain here. You see those great questions.
When you're
on the recruiting trail and you're getting to know guys, can you kind of tell and see all the traits of somebody who might end up being a captain here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I say that a lot of times in recruiting. I project it. You know, I can see you being a captain here. You're certain guys. I won't say their names right now because I feel like it's probably not appropriate. But yeah, there's definitely, like, I can think about five right now in my head where I look at them and be like, you're going to be a captain here someday. Now, whether they do or not, you know, a lot of things have to fall into place, but you see those traits early on.
What are some of those traits?
I think the first thing is a mature approach. You know, some guys who understand. They kind of have an old soul. They see things from a mature point of view of what's important. They set a great standard. They kind of have things in order. They can prioritize things and time manage things. And, you know, they're not out running the streets or, you know, so focused on the social aspect of things. They're worried about academics. They're worried about football. They're worried about their family. And once you set that standard and you can communicate that and bring guys with you, those are some of the traits you see in leaders. And then also, you know, their coaches and people back at their high school talking great about who they are and what they've done during their high school experience.
How important is it to have those guys commit early?
Yeah, I think it's huge. Well, commit early? Yeah. In the recruiting process, that's another conversation. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think of it like that. And when you commit early, like Jack did, like Kyle did, like some of our guys have, and then have leadership within the recruiting group that you can recruit others, it's really, really important. So I think I mentioned this the other day, but a lot of our guys, you know, they've known each other now for a year or more when they came here to check into, this day was, I guess, the check into camp day, and they've known each other, for a long time, and part of that is the leadership in the recruiting process.
And final questions, front row, or second row, middle, Doug?
Man, this is so good, I'd go 3 hours on this. My soul is being fed talking football. Oh my God. Just to clarify, we talked a lot about the bond. If he's getting in the mix, is he at tackle, and that would mean either Thayer or MPF maybe moving inside, or would it be DeJuan in at guard if he's in the mix?
And so we're moving those guys all around right now, though, trying to figure that part of it out. You know, what gives us the best, you know, the best combination in there? And it's tricky. You know, I wish I could give you an answer like, okay, he's definitely going to do this. Maybe by the end of the week, next week, we'll know. But they've all kind of played guard. They played some tackle. We move right to left, left to right, all the above right now.
And you were talking about the way you're coaching your quarterbacks right now. With your experience playing the position, how important it is, it is quarterback, how much differently do you as a head coach maybe coach that position than you do other positions because of what it is and because of your experience? And I almost felt like, are you describing a little bit of like a good cop, bad cop maybe with you and Corey, that you're on them and then he takes them in the room and makes sure they're okay? What's that like as you all coach the QBs?
It takes a village. It does, to your point. And there's a lot of other things that come up as the head coach, but Corey does an excellent job of keeping everything organized with the meetings and the coaching points and working with these guys. And I think that room has gotten a lot stronger too, because a big part of it is that it can't be a bunch of individuals in that room. It has to have some cohesion. When you think about the last time we won a national championship here, it's all three guys. And so I brought that up to that whole room. And there's going to be one starter. That's the only thing I know for sure. The first play against Minnesota, there's going to be one quarterback in the game unless we decide to put two out there. But it's probably not going to happen. So that's just what's going to happen. And it's a long way all the way to January. And so how can those guys come together, you know, for a season and pull for each other, and pull for the room? And that's where it's more than just the X's and O's. And so I think Corey's done a great job of that. Keenan Bailey, Todd Fitch, you know, we have a lot of people who are helping in that area just in terms of communication with those guys and building that room up. And then, you know, I'm obviously, you know, in there a lot and talking to those guys. And so they have great resources and people there. And I think it's going to be a long road all the way to January, but we're off to a good start.
And one last thing just sort of about your coaching. You've been doing this for a while now. You're in year two with Kerry as the defensive coordinator, but like the first kind of normal year. How much, as you do this, how much do you want to be involved in defensive stuff? Obviously you are, you're the head coach, but, or how much are you sort of comfortable just kind of trusting Kerry and all those position coaches kind of do their thing and you just check in every now and
then? That's exactly the way it is here. If you're on defense and you're the defense coordinator, there's a reason why, you know, you were hired. You're at Ohio State and He's going to run the defense. Larry is huge with all of that in terms of, you know, the front. Al Washington, really important with the run game. Matt Barnes in the back end. I mean, these are really good coaches, and so I got to let them do their job. Now, I will see certain things schematically or personnel-wise, and I'll just mention it to them, but I don't go in there with them. I let them do their job. I know what that's like, you know, and it's hard when you have, you know, trying to, do what you think the head coach wants you to do. No, you got to do what's right, what's best for us, and that's important. It's the same thing with special teams. I'm in the special teams meetings and certainly have input, but Parker runs the special teams, and I'm very impressed with the way he's been handling his meetings and the approach that our guys have had in the special teams. Matt Barnes is still a part of that as well, but that's how this thing works right now structurally for us, is that I'm so involved with the offense and with the quarterbacks that we really need a lot of strength on defense and special teams.
Great. Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Have a great day. Thanks.